The views expressed in this program are not necessarily those of FMR. Fine Music Radio.
Hello, friends. We made it. We are here. It is January 2026. We are alive. We are strong. We are fit. We probably still have some New Year's resolutions we're trying to stick to, but we are here. And if one of your New Year's resolutions is to read more in 2026, or maybe it's to read differently in 2026, or maybe it's to try scroll less and read more. My name is Paige Nick. This is Book Choice on Fine Music Radio, and I'm here to help give you lots of ideas of what you can read in the upcoming few months and how to get your reading year really going amazingly strong. Start strong, what my trainer always says. So let's start strong. Welcome to Book Choice. This is our very special Publisher's Choice edition. It's our very first show of 2026, so I've got very high expectations because we need to set the bar high and set the standard for the kind of shows we're going to bring you this year. And we are all working incredibly hard to up our game and make sure that this show continues to be inspiring and interesting and fun and full of very fine music as well. So, as I said, my name is Paige Nick. I am the host of this show, and our show is sponsored by Exclusive Books, who are also here today to tell us a little bit about what they've got going on in the upcoming months. And as I mentioned, today is our special Publisher's Choice edition, which means we have three of South Africa's top publishers, Penguin Random House, Pan Macmillan, and Jonathan Ball Publishers, and also, as I mentioned, Exclusive Books, and they're all here to work with us in today's show. What's interesting about today's show is often in January we're talking about the books that inspire, the books that motivate, the books that do all those kinds of things. But this year we're going in a slightly different direction, I noticed, which is quite interesting to me. These publishers do definitely have these inspiring, motivational books, and some of them talk about them. But to me, what I picked up from these segments on today's show is that a lot of them are retrospectives. A lot of these publishers are looking back at their very favorite books from last year, and also their award-winning books from last year, as well as telling us about what they've got coming up in the next few months. So that interests me about this show because it's something slightly different, and it also excites me because I've read some of them and they are spectacular, and some I haven't read and I absolutely have to, particularly when we get to the award-winning books. I want to talk about that. So how about a track first? And then we're going to come back and we're going to say a big hello and welcome to 2026 to our publishers and Exclusive Books. This is Let Your Love Shine, and it's by Gavin Minter.
So my clothes arrive and take a moment to be still. You may find a seedless bird is how you like to feel. Gather round a wise one, it's you with a learned frown, yeah. The simple sound of laughter will open all that is bound. I don't care if Voltaire or even Sly's what it takes. A city man, if you got some spare, give it up and look, don't wait. Let your love shine in. Let your love shine into the shimmer trails in its wake and greets the sun at dawn. Oh, let your love shine in. Let your love shine in until I feel the glow within.
Welcome back. That was Let Your Love Shine by Gavin Minter. As I said before that track, you are tuned into Book Choice, Publisher's Choice on Fine Music Radio for our very first show of 2026. Can you even believe it? And I know what's going to happen. This year is absolutely going to fly. It always does. First up to today's show, and first up this year, I want to welcome Viz Chetty from Penguin Random House. So Viz, when you listen to his reviews, listen out for one specific review. It's of a new novel by the author of The List of Suspicious Things by Jenny Godfrey, and that book's called The Barbecue at Number 9. Viz is going to tell you a little bit about that book. Now, I read The List of Suspicious Things by Jenny Godfrey, which is the first novel in this series, and I really enjoyed it. And so I'm quite interested in The Barbecue at Number 9 by the same author, which Viz is going to mention. And yeah, Viz actually has some really exciting titles to talk about. Not only does he talk about the books that they've got coming up in the first 4 months of this year, but you'll hear he goes on to some very big releases coming at the end of the year. So I hope I whet your appetite. Listen out for those as well. I'm going to talk about them when we come back. Welcome to the show, Viz Chetty in Penguin Random House.
Hi, Paige. Thank you for having me back. It's Viz Chetty from PRH. We are back with a new schedule for 2026. Obviously, we've got some really, really wonderful books this year. It's all in our ongoing quest to bring you the best reading possible. So I thought in the segment, we're going to go into 2026. I thought it would be nice to give you a little snapshot of the first 6 months as well, which is quite handy. I will be doing the monthly rundown of all the big titles, so you'll get a bit more detail and more books as the months go on, obviously. But I thought for now, for this early on in the year, I'll just give you a little teaser on what's coming up in the next 6 months. It's mostly fiction on here, which is just great, but we've got so much coming. We've got fiction, non-fiction, we've got something for everyone, as we always do. So here we go. So in February, we've got a brand new book called Crux. It's an absolute stunner of a book. It's from the author of Absolute Darling. That wasn't a really easy read, but it was a brilliant read. So he's back with a brand new book called Crux. It's set in the southern Mojave Desert. It's a coming-of-age story of Dan and Tama. They are two teenagers. They're in their last year of high school, and they cannot be more different. But the one thing they have in common is rock climbing. And they sort of climb boulders and do their best to close off the last year of high school and move on to the next phase of their lives. And as the book goes in, you sort of see this sort of split between these two characters. So it's wonderfully written, very, very likable characters. You just care and love each character in this book. So Dan is the more ambitious one. He's looking to go to university. Tama's not so much. She's a bit of a fallout, and they come from a history. Their family have history. Their parents were best friends. Both their moms were best friends. So there's an obligation almost to still remain friends. So wonderful new book. Crux is coming up in February. And then moving on to some more stuff in February, we have a brand new one from Freedom McFadden. We've got two new ones coming up next year. This one is called Dear Debbie. It's about a sort of agony aunt, or she gives advice in a local paper. Debbie Mullen is the main character, and she's slowly, slowly losing it. She's got a husband who's keeping secrets. She has a family she's trying to keep together, and she comes to a point where she cannot really hold it all together, and what will she do from there? So it gets really dark from that point on. So if you like Freedom McFadden, you like a good thriller, she's got two new ones, and this one, Dear Debbie, is coming in February. Right, and then moving on, we've got a brand new one, Josie Lloyd. It's a brand new author. The book is called You and Me and You and Me and You and Me. And why I threw this one in there is I think it's such a charming little book. It's so, so, so fun to read. It's actually written by a real-life couple who fell in love while they were writing their best-selling debut novel 25 years ago. The main characters in this book is Adam and Jules. They've been married for 25 years. And, they've come to a stage, and as all relationships go after 25 years, lots of things become quite predictable. But something unpredictable happens along the way. So one day, Adam is stumbling across some old mixtapes and things in the shed outside, and he picks up one of these mixtapes that him and Jules used to make for each other when they were first courting. And when he plays it, he realizes he can actually step back into time. And eventually she finds out about this as well. So what they start doing is they start going back into time and start changing little things about each other, which is quite hilarious. And as you know, butterfly effect, they change one thing, a whole bunch of other things happen. But at the end of the day, it's about two people in a long, long, long relationship who are still trying to keep it together. So, wonderful new book. Watch out for this one. I thought about Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow with this one, but it's very different to that. So, You and Me and You and Me and You and Me by Josie Lloyd. That's coming in March as well. And then we've got a return by Jenny Godfrey. She wrote a wonderful new book in 2024. A lot of you would have probably read it. It was called The List of Suspicious Things. We all loved it at PRH in-house. It was so good. And this one is called The Barbecue at Number 9. And it's set in 1985. It's the summer of 1985. The entire country is getting ready for the biggest music event in history, and that is Live Aid. There's a community barbecue happening at a place called Delmon Close, where all the residents are getting ready for this huge barbecue, and someone uninvited is watching them very closely at the same time, getting ready to make their move. Who is this? What do they want? And who are the people of Delmon Close? So, wonderful, charming, really easy read, Jenny Godfrey. If you have read The List of Suspicious Things, you would love this new follow-up. It's really, really got a lot of warmth and wit to it. And I think in-house as well, people who've read it so far, they just love it. And then the next one, reading this one currently now, time of recording, but M.L. Stedman, she wrote The Light Between Oceans. That book just shattered a lot of people when they read it. There was a movie based on it as well. So this one, she's back with a book called A Far-Flung Life. I'm really excited about this one. I think that lots of people are going to love the fact that she's back with a new one, but she writes amazingly well. You can't put this book down. So it's set in Western Australia in the outback in 1958. It's about a family. They live in what they call a station. So it's a farmstead, and they are sheep farmers. And the book starts off with something absolutely catastrophic happening. So I'm not going to tell you what that is at this point. Something so crucial to the foundations of this family happens. It's tragic, and from then on, it's about all the circumstances that come from that. But also, the story goes back into all the events before this event. So, wonderful new book. We're very excited about that. Yeah, that will be in March. So, M.L. Stedman's A Far-Flung Life. And then the next one, Viola Davis, yes, the actress, she's done everything now. So she's going to add author to her bio. Viola Davis and James Patterson. The book is called Judge Stone. It's set in Union Springs, Alabama, with a town population of 3,300 people. And the main character, Judge Mary Stone, is doing everything she can to keep her family running. At the same time, she has a new case which is taking up a lot of mental bandwidth, and it's a really great thriller. So you should look out for this one. There'll be a lot of chatter around this. This is also coming in March. And then in April, if you like Stephen Bartlett, Diary of a CEO, if you know anyone who has loved that book, he's got a brand new one coming in April. It's called Just Effin' Do It, The Principles of Action. It's all about entrepreneurship and business. So anybody who's starting a business, wanting to get into their own business or anything of that sort will love this book. So we are really excited about that. That's the nonfiction one I have here. And then in May, we've got The Return of Sally Andrews in the Tani Maria series. I am so excited about this. I just finished this a few weeks ago. It's called Wild Things Never Die. And so all the characters are back, from Tani to Jesse to Hink. Even Henrietta the Chicken is back. This will be in May. It will be our biggest release for the first half of the year in terms of fiction, and that includes international. So watch out for that one. I'll chat to you more about that later in the early parts of next year. And then I'm going to give you a little teaser towards the second half of the year. We've got a brand new Elif Shafak. She's the author of There Are Rivers in the Sky, which was a big book for 2024. We love her in house. She's one of my favorite authors personally. She's got a brand new book coming in September. And then we've got the return of John Boyne in a new book. It sounds amazing. Title? The Weight of Angels, and that's going to be coming in October. And all I don't know anything about the plotline so far, apart from the fact that it features Oscar Wilde as the main character. So he writes beautifully. I can't wait to have him back on the list. So that's just a little teaser for the first 6 months, and then some. I will be back in the new month, and we'll go through each more titles in a bit more detail. Happy reading, and enjoy your 2026 reading.
Right, did you hear that one? The two that I mentioned, and there were a lot more as well, but the two that I mentioned that I'm so excited about is The List of Suspicious Things follow-up by Jenny Godfrey. It's called The Barbecue at Number 9. I'm excited for that. That's just a lovely thriller. And what I like about Jenny Godfrey is they're kind of retro. So I grew up in the 70s and 80s, so I recognize those times. So she tends to write in those times, and I find that quite interesting. But then the whopper exciting release that Viz talked about is a new John Boyne coming in October. And I think that's a particularly big news on the literary scene. John Boyne was in South Africa in 2025 promoting his Elements series at the Franschhoek Literary Festival. And every single one of his shows was absolutely packed. You could not buy a ticket for any amount of money in the world. And people were coming out of those sessions crying. They were so moved. They were so driven by this Elements series. So he's a big name. And he has a new one coming out in October, as Viz mentioned, featuring Oscar Wilde as the main character. I'm excited about that. Thank you so much, Viz Chetty.
FMR 101.3 FM.
You are tuned into Book Choice on Fine Music Radio. My name is Paige Nick. I'm the host of this show. I am an author. I'm a columnist. I also run a book club on Facebook that has about 25,000 members. It's called the Good Book Appreciation Society, and we just talk about books all the time. So I know this can be a bit of a one-way conversation. We're talking to you about books. We would also love to hear what you're reading. So do come onto Facebook, search for the Good Book Appreciation Society, join the club, and come and tell us what you're reading too. Then this can be a two-way conversation. Our show, as always, is sponsored by Exclusive Books, and we are extremely grateful for their bookish love and how they join us every month on the show, and they sponsor us so that we can do the show the way we do it, and they also bring us some of their own recommendations, which are coming up later in the show. Thank you, Exclusive Books. Thank you for joining us again in 2026. We can't wait to talk books with you and sell books with you and live in books with you. We love what you do. As I mentioned, next up, we've got the Pan Macmillan team. Kelly Norwood-Young is here from Pan Macmillan. Pan Macmillan hold a very special place in my heart because they are my publisher. They are also super, super busy. Every year, they're bringing out a massive amount of South African fiction and non-fiction. But also, of course, they bring in a lot of international fiction and non-fiction. And Kelly is here. She's going to chat about some of her favorite books from 2025. And I'm quite moved when she mentioned my book is on that list, so I feel very blessed about that. My book is called Book People. If you love books, which I hope you do since you're listening to this show, I hope you will enjoy Book People. It's a comedy about a group of book people who literally lose the plot. But Kelly also has a lot of other books to tell us about. I'm particularly excited about the Mike Nichol title. I think it's called The Fall of the Shadows, which is coming in the new year. And I'm ready. I've got my budget ready. I'm ready to go and buy that book the second it comes out. Welcome to the show, Kelly Norwood-Young and the Pan Macmillan team.
Happy New Year to all the Fine Music Radio listeners. I'm Kelly Norwood-Young from Pan Macmillan, and I am thrilled to be here for the very first Publisher's Choice of 2026. While we have an incredible year of reading ahead, I think it's impossible to look forward without celebrating the incredible books that have shaped our 2025. First, we have to talk about Shabnam Khan. Her novel, The Lost Love of Akbar Mansal, received incredible recognition last year, winning the Sunday Times Fiction Prize, the UJ Main Prize, and the HSS Award. It's a sublime, heart-wrenching ghost story, it's a love story, and it's a mystery. In the States, where it's published under a different title, it's actually a USA Today bestseller and New York Times editor's choice. It's also been published and translated into Italian and Ukrainian, taking that proudly Durban story to a global audience. Then there is the literary powerhouse, Sipiwe Gloria Ndlovu. We're so proud that her fourth novel, The Creation of Half-Broken People, was shortlisted for the 2025 Sunday Times Fiction Prize and won the prestigious Best International Fiction Prize at the Sharjah Awards. This novel explores how a continent's past continues to haunt its present, and it delves into the deep, often invisible scars of history. We also celebrated a massive win for a familiar favorite. John van der Rijt took home the South African Book Awards Fiction Prize for Spud, The Reunion. This is the latest chapter for The Crazy Eight, and if you haven't read it yet, it's a brilliant reunion with the characters we all know and love, just a little bit older, but not necessarily wiser. Then, of course, it is January and the holidays are wrapping up, reality setting in. So if you're feeling the pressure of new year, new you, we have the solution for you. It's a nonfiction title called Shift Happens by global performance expert Richard Sutton. Richard works with Olympic athletes and top CEOs, but this book is for us. It offers 12 science-backed tools to handle stress and burnout. If you found value in books like Atomic Habits or The Mountain Is You, this is your next read. It's about practical resilience when, as the title says, shift happens. Now, I can't be on Fine Music Radio without mentioning a book that is quite literally for the people listening right now. It's a book called Book People, and it's by none other than Paige Nick. We're so proud to publish Paige. This is a savage, funny satire about a Facebook book club that goes off the rails and the chaos of cancel culture. If you love books, then this one is a non-negotiable for your reading list if you have not read it yet. Then looking ahead into 2026, mark your calendars for February. We have the king of South African crime, Mike Nichol, returning with a brand new thriller called Falls the Shadow. It introduces a new character, a cop who polices the cops. We've had a few early readers reviewing the book for us, and international bestseller John Connolly has said Mike Nichol is not only one of the finest South African crime novelists, but also among the best anywhere. Falls the Shadow is superb. So there you go. It hits shelves in early February, and if you're in Cape Town, please join us for the launch at the Book Lounge on the 12th of February to meet Mike and get your copy signed. Finally, I want to end off by telling you about a book that has everyone talking, A Perfect Life by Dion Chang. What makes this book special is that it's where humor meets heart. It brings together Dion's sharp eye as a trained analyst and his compassionate training as an end-of-life doula. We've asked Dion to take the microphone and tell you more about this special book. From all of us at Pan Macmillan, here's to a perfect year of reading. Over to you, Dion.
A Perfect Life by Dion Chang. Hi, my name's Dion and I'm a cat butler. This type of introduction never fails to break the ice. The concept, the mental imagery, and if you're a fellow Illyrophile, a cat lover, the immediate connection is guaranteed to spark an easy conversation. Non-Illyrophiles are either curious or bemused, but fellow cat butlers simply give that knowing look, as if we're all part of a niche pet sect. We all acknowledge the harsh truth behind the catchphrase, dogs have masters, cats have staff. But serve we do, and we do so willingly. I consider myself to have an honorary PhD in cat butlering. I've devoted years to the discipline, and yet the vocation only became clear in my mid-20s. I actually grew up with dogs and was especially devoted to my Alsatian Gumfong, which means golden wind in Cantonese. He was gifted to me as a puppy by my uncle, who also named him. As a post-grad student, I lived in Paris and London for a few years before returning to South Africa and moved into my first flat in Joburg. There, I was adopted by a cat in the building. It's true when they say you don't choose a cat, cats choose you. I was not a willing participant in this union. I love animals, but I was horribly allergic to cats. But this tabby had decided that he had found a new home and housemate and was insistent on settling in with me. And he was very vocal about his needs. His incessant demands to be fed led me to name him Stereo. This was my induction into cat butlering. And miraculously, my cat allergies disappeared. Or perhaps my body had just been given no option but to adapt. The capstone of my cat butler training came about when I moved in with my now husband. He had a magnificent grey cat called McGee, who completely disapproved of my presence. Even though I fed him every single day, he steadfastly ignored me. In his world, I simply did not exist. It was only after a year, it was a life lesson in patience and tenacity, that he finally acknowledged that I was going to be a permanent fixture and relented. We became the best of friends, so much so that when we had to make the heart-wrenching decision to say goodbye, I was the one who held him as he crossed the Rainbow Bridge. I didn't realize it, but becoming a pet doula was always in my DNA. I witnessed wide-eyed as a teenager as Kamfong took his last breath. I've also subsequently assisted friends with saying goodbye to their fur kids, and I just never realized there was this role to play until a few years ago when I heeded my doula calling. My career, or should I say careers, could not have been more far removed from becoming a doula, let alone a pet doula. I've been a magazine and newspaper columnist for the past 2 decades. During the halcyon days of print media, I was part of the launch team that introduced Elle magazine to a post-apartheid South Africa, and there I launched and edited Elle Man, the first glossy men's fashion supplement in South Africa. I seemed naturally drawn to startup culture and uncharted waters, so 20 years ago, I took a leap of faith and started my own company, Flux Trends, a trends analysis company specializing in tracking disruptive trends that alter business models. One of the largest disruptive undercurrents I've been tracking for some time now has been a combination of rapidly changing global demographics and a radical shift in social contracts. The convergence of several trends, aging populations, falling birth rates, a child-free movement, the decline in generational wealth, and a younger generation's tempered perspective on their future has spawned a booming pet economy and pushed the concept of fur babies into the mainstream. This book delves into the wake of this fur baby surge and shows how the new pet economy is being propelled to dizzying heights. You'll discover the luxury services offered to pet parents who have taken pet pampering to new levels of, you paid what? You'll marvel at the ingenuity of pampering services like jet lag therapy for puppies and shake your head in disbelief at the absurdity of it all, but secretly, I think you'll approve of it. But in tandem, the book also provides insights into your pet's psyche that will surprise and delight you while dispensing loads of practical advice on how to be the best pet parent you can be.
That was Kelly Norwood-Young and the Pan Macmillan team here on Book Choice on Fine Music Radio with their list of favorite titles from 2025, as well as some titles they're particularly excited about in 2026. If you listen to the show regularly, you would have heard me talking before about the new Dion Chang book that's come out, A Perfect Parent. I love this book. I bought it for myself, and I bought a copy for my sister who has pets. I don't have pets, but I'm just very interested in trends around the world. And I have mentioned this fact before. We've had this book on the show a couple of times. But in this book, they mention how they sell more prams in the East for people with animals than they do for people with babies. Just goes to show how this is such a growing market. So thank you so much, Kelly Norwood-Young and the Pan Macmillan team. You have a fantastic list. And I'm not just saying that because I'm on it. You're tuned into, let me just remind you, if you only just joined us, you're tuned into Book Choice on Fine Music Radio with me, your host, Paige Nick. I don't do this show by myself. I have lots of people who help me. One of those is the Exclusive Books team. They sponsor our show and they help us build the show every month. Another person who helps me is Mzuma Keta. He curates all the music. And this month, we're very grateful to Mwandi and the whole team at Fine Music Radio for building the show for us, the very first show of the year. So we're a big team. Also, Vanessa Levenstein is my right hand. She produces this show. She does the most amazing job. She is just the strongest, most incredible supporter. And I got to tell you, I thought I love books. I kind of think Vanessa loves them even more than me. So that's saying a lot. Right, we're back now. Let's get back into our next segment. We've got the Jonathan Ball team in the house, and the Jonathan Ball team are taking a different tack. I was going to say a different track, which is a nice pun. They're taking a different track this month and for the start of this year. They're going to be telling us about PageCast. Now, PageCast is the Jonathan Ball podcast. It comes out regularly, and it's become a very big feature on the literary scene. It's well worth following. They interview authors when they have new books out. They talk about big releases. They have local and international authors. And what I like about this segment is that the Jonathan Ball team are looking back on some of their biggest podcasts of 2025, some of their biggest PageCast podcasts of 2025. What's nice about podcasts is that they don't really age. You could go back and go through their backlist and listen back to any of these podcasts. They're all fascinating. There are so many that I'm particularly interested in, but one of the ones that I'm definitely going to go back and listen to is the one with Jeff Wicks, who wrote The Shadow State, Why Babita Dokaran Had to Die. This is a really big book. It was a News 24 book of the month. But we had Jeff Wicks on the show and we interviewed him in 2025. And it was, I think, hands down, one of the best interviews we've done on our show before. My jaw dropped when I listened to this interview. So I think I'm going to go onto the Jonathan Ball Publishers page. I'm going to go to their PageCast podcast. And I think I'm going to listen to this one in particular, The Shadow State by Jeff Wicks. That really interests me. So welcome to the show, to the Jonathan Ball Publishing team and the PageCast team. Tell us all about PageCast.
Hello, fine music radio listeners. Nicola here from PageCast, South Africa's leading book podcast, brought to you by Jonathan Ball Publishers, where readers meet writers and conversations go deeper than the page. As we head into a new year, we are taking a moment to look back at 2025, a remarkable year for literature, ideas, and debate. If you're new to the podcast, you can listen to or watch PageCast on all podcast streaming platforms. And if you love what you hear, don't forget to subscribe, follow, and share. It was a phenomenal year for PageCast. In 2025 alone, we published 52 magnificent episodes, connecting you with some of the sharpest minds across politics, culture, comedy, thrillers, and social commentary. Let's revisit some of the books and voices that defined the year. One of our most listened to conversations tackled accountability head on. Quinita Hunter sat down with investigative journalist Jeff Wicks to unpack his book, The Shadow State, a vital discussion about corruption, infiltration, and the fragility of public institutions.
Babita Deokaran was a completely unknown figure. She only became something of a focal point in death. Mm. But at the time that she was murdered, it was a Monday. We were at the newsroom and you know, I'm a member of News 24's investigations team, and I remember that when that shooting occurred, the newsroom tracked it, and that was the team that did the original coverage. But by dint of the person that Babita was, Chief Director of Financial Accounting at the Gauteng Department of Health, and then the manner in which she was killed, which was most obviously a hit, we knew that it was something that we wanted to apply sort of effort and focus to.
We also hosted political heavyweights, including the Mayor of Cape Town, Jordan Hill Lewis, in conversation with Tony Leon about his memoir, Being There, Backstories from the Political Front. Tony reflected on the pivotal what-if moments that shape political lives and national history.
I phoned up John Steenhuisen about a month ago. I said, look, I hope this GNU holds, because if it doesn't, this book might be a bit superfluous. He said, no. He thinks he described it then as critical but stable. Maybe it's a little more stable now and a little less critical, but who knows?
It's got to hold at least through the third print run, I would say.
One hopes.
Our conversations reached beyond South Africa too. Samela Langeni spoke with Zambian author Iris Mwanza about her debut legal thriller, The Lion's Den, a gripping novel that confronts justice, power, and systemic oppression.
99 years at my laptop, toiling away, but it has been a labor of love. I wrote it as a thriller, but it also addresses some really important themes that are very important to me and things that I am passionate about, mainly around gender equality.
Closer to home, we celebrated stories rooted in community and culture. Janine Jellers chatted to Nadia Kasim about Not Another Samosa Run, a warm, vibrant exploration of identity, food, and belonging.
This is now 2025, and we need to step into the new world, the new way of doing things. And so that for me, and I really, really wanted to explore the issues that we have as a community with the traditions, in what way traditions hold us back, and in what ways does it help us, you know, because there's certain parts of tradition that maybe helps us with our identity, gives us some structure, but how much of it is toxic and how much of it is helpful.
And in one of our most delightful episodes, Quinita Loxton interviewed Shamiz Patel about her debut novel, Playing Flirty, a smart, geeky romantic comedy that quickly became a reader favorite.
I wrote Playing Flirty as a first draft and very boldly sent it out to literary agents, almost as is. Very, very embarrassing.
Very brave.
Very brave. Very, very naive. I got rejected, as one would imagine, but those rejections, they made me cry. But they also showed me that this is a real thing, that these agents will reply to you. And I think as a South African, you do sort of forget that you can send an email. It doesn't matter that they're based across the oceans.
PageCast was also on the move in 2025, bringing you conversations from the literary festivals across the country, including the French Hook Literary Festival, where we captured the buzz and energy of readers and writers gathered in real time. One unforgettable moment was the outrageously funny panel, Karen Rewritten, owning the name in a meme-worn world. Shimka Vermeulen and Lane reclaimed the name with sharp wit, loud laughter, and joyful defiance.
I hate that my name has become synonymous with, like, a racist,
annoying,
whiny, demanding woman with bad hair. That is actually the worst. Like, do not put that bad haircut on me. I am not that person.
We also welcomed international voices. During his visit to South Africa, UK author and comedian David Biddle joined Gus Silber for a wide-ranging conversation that moved effortlessly between comedy, identity, and contemporary politics.
And I occasionally get asked to do things for the Jewish community in Britain. And I got phoned by my local rabbi once, a man I don't know because I don't go to synagogue, but somehow he got my number, presumably because Jews control the world. He got my number and he said, would you come along and light the menorah outside our synagogue? You'd be the local Jewish celebrity who does that. And I didn't want to do that. That felt like a naff thing to do. So I played my trump card. I said, sorry, rabbi, I'm an atheist. And he said, so am I. And I thought, really, there's more Jewish atheists than I thought. But I think the other thing, I mean, the more gentle thing is, of course, a Jew can be a Jew via culture and tradition and music and comedy and all sorts of things that raise the goose pimples on your flesh about being Jewish without believing in Hashem.
Towards the end of the year, Anthony Melanur spoke with true crime author Nicole Engelbrecht about her book, Bare Bones, a deeply humane exploration of cold cases, and the ethical weight of telling these stories.
But for these families of the missing, going on that grief journey is necessary for their mental health because, you know, as I say, they must grieve something. But they don't quite know what to grieve because, you know, what am I grieving? Because this person's literally just disappeared into thin air. And I think I've come to understand how these families, they're sort of forced to choose between continuing to push for their families and their family member and telling the story over and again, while at the same time, that has a huge impact on their mental health. You know, and I've seen some really negative consequences from that, where family members have just had to say, I have to leave it in, you know, whatever you believe in, the universe's hands now, because I simply cannot continue to focus on this.
And finally, we wrapped up the year with a delightful chat between the condiment queen, Claire Dinu, and local chef and author, Karen Dudley. Claire and Karen spoke about all things condiments and bold new flavors.
Well, that's honestly, I didn't know much about South African cuisine in general the first time I came. And then I came down to Cape Town and I just fell in love with the flavors here because they're all mishmashes of like Cape Malay spices and like a little bit of sweetness because I came during peach season. And then there's also that salty element. And for me, I love a good flavor mishmash. And you know, there's taste, which is salty, sweet, bitter, acid, umami. But then there's flavor. That's also color, texture, smell, but more importantly, nostalgia and memory. Mm-hmm. And I think people here really care about that and they dive straight into it. But they're also not offended if you put your own take on it just to experiment with flavor.
Yeah. These were the kinds of conversations that defined PageCast in 2025. thoughtful, rigorous, and unafraid. What a year. 52 episodes, dozens of extraordinary authors, and a community of listeners who make these conversations matter. From hard-hitting investigations to laughter-filled festival stages, PageCast has been right there, and we're only just getting started. We're already planning an amazing slate for the new year. So subscribe, spread the word, and keep reading. We'll see you throughout this year for more PageCast.
That was the Jonathan Ball publishing team, and they were telling us about a little bit of a retrospective look at PageCast in 2025, their podcast, and some of their favorite big interviews from last year. All of these publishers and exclusive books, obviously, are on social media. You can find them, you can follow them, you can hear about what they're up to. I highly recommend it. They post tons of incredible content. They also have lots of giveaways. Who doesn't like to win a free book? And event information. So you can find out about book launches. These are free and they're happening all over the city, all over the country, constantly. There are many every month of the year. So if you follow these publishers, you can see where they're happening. Go get a free glass of wine, enjoy yourself at a book launch, listen to the show, and have a wonderful different kind of time out. They normally take about an hour and a half. So it's a lovely thing to do of an early evening. My name is Paige Nick. I am an author. I am a freelance advertising copywriter. I'm the host of this show. As I said earlier, I also founded a book club on Facebook called the Good Book Appreciation Society. So the main theme through all of this is that I love books. I love writing. I love reading. I suppose my name is Paige. I grew up with the name Paige. I didn't really have much of a choice about loving books and loving paper and loving words. And I am your host on today's show, Book Choice, Publisher's Choice, which is sponsored by our friends at Exclusive Books. A handy segue because they are up next on our show. So I mentioned up front at the beginning of this show about some award-winning books from 2025. I know 2025 is in our rearview mirror, but we had some really incredible South African award-winning books, and it's worth remembering them. And if you haven't read them, listen out in case it appeals to you, because these are books that are really worth reading. At the end of 2025, the Sunday Times hosted their annual literary awards. In that was a fiction winner and a non-fiction winner, and both of them are featured on today's show. Pan Macmillan mentioned the Shibnam Khan novel, which is called The Lost Love of Akbar Manzil. It does have a different title if you're not in South Africa. But here it's called The Lost Love of Akbar Manzil. I've read this book. It's astonishing. It's been on many international best of lists. And now it's gone and won the South African Prize for Fiction. So that was in the Pan Macmillan segment. And we load this show as a podcast on fmr.co.za once the show's gone live. So if you missed that and you'd like to hear about Shabnam Khan's award-winning fiction title, do go back and listen to the show. The other book that won huge at the Sunday Times Literary Awards was the non-fiction winner, and that is called Morafe. It's got a subtitle, which is Person, Family, and Nation in Colonial Bechuanaland, 1880 to 1950s. And this is by Kumisho Mogorane. And today we have a very special treat because Vanessa Levenstein, who, as I mentioned, is the producer of this show, is going to do an inter-review of this award-winning non-fiction literary prize winning book, Morafe. So what an inter-review means, and this is one of my very favorite ways to address a very important book, is sometimes I feel like when we interview the author, if you haven't read the book, or maybe you haven't even heard the book, it can be hard to follow because you don't know the themes, you don't really know what the book is like. I always feel like if we do an inter-review where we first review the book, tell you a little bit about what's coming up in the book, and then we interview the author, I feel like it gives it so much more weight and heft and makes it so much nicer to listen to. It gives you like a more rounded view, you know, a helicopter view of the book. So that's what the Exclusive Books team and Vanessa Levenstein have done with this incredible piece of nonfiction, this prize-winning book by Kumisho Mogorane, her book Morafe. So Vanessa's going to join us. First, she's going to review the book, give you a little overview of what it's about and where it lives and how she approached it. And then we're very, very fortunate to have this award-winning author in the studio to answer a few questions about this award-winning book. Welcome to the show. Thank you for the segment exclusive books. Welcome to the show, Vanessa, and hello, Kumisho.
What does it mean to be a human? Now, the universal concept of Buntu, personhood, is a theme that runs through religions and cultures. It's what we teach our kids at school. It's the values we impart to them. Work hard, share, respect your elders. And now if you're religious, attend your place of worship. In South Africa, we talk about Ubuntu. I am because we are. In my religion, it's about being a mensch. Morae, person, family, and nation. In Colonial Bechuana Land by Dr. Kumisho Mokorane, winner of the 2025 Sunday Times Literary Award for Nonfiction, explores this topic and so much more. Kumisho weaves together the political, the philosophical, the personal, and historical into a narrative that can be experienced on many levels. She's written not only a biography of the Malema family, but also a biography of the concept of morae. The Setswana word morae, loosely translated, is tribe or nation. But the author goes much deeper, insofar as morae was not an ethnic label you were born into. You had to build a community of persons constructed through civic virtue, through butu, the ongoing work of being human. The book traces the Malema family from the 1880s to the 1950s, a period in which they straddled the border between what is now South Africa and Botswana. Straddled is the operative word. They were border people, skillfully navigating, even manipulating, the British Empire's obsession with maps in order to maintain their own autonomy. Now, we often speak of history as something that's drawn on maps, lines dividing nations, treaties signed in distant capitals, the scramble for Africa painted in broad imperial strokes. But this book suggests that history is not drawn on a map. It's woven, and this is the exciting part, it's woven into the intimate spaces between people. Now, I am a fiction reader, so this book, while very clearly written, in language I could understand, did, however, for me, require work. But it was worth it, because it made me think, talk to friends, explore the essence of connectedness, and that's why we read. To enter another world, to learn, to be taken out of our comfort zones. And the concept of morae is transformative. We are very fortunate on Book Choice to go deeper into this remarkable work, because joining us via Zoom is the author herself. Welcome, Kumisho.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
Let's start with the title itself, Morae. Did this one word inform this work, or did you come in through another door?
I came in through multiple doors. I only actually paid attention to the vernacular concept, Morae, years after interrogating the Malema's biography. My attention to the word morae followed, I must admit, a more collective effort by historians in South Africa from around, say, for example, 2015, to think a lot more carefully about what we call the pre-colonial, which would mean the time, loosely speaking, before Europeans arrived in Southern Africa. And to think about what was political community like and what kinds of concepts did people themselves use to describe authority, to describe institutions, and to describe togetherness, connectedness, and so on. And so I, years already after having discovered the family, I went back to the archive and I was amazed to find that a lot of the letters, of course, I already knew they were in Setswana, but I found over and over again this return to the word morae, morae, morae. Mm. What was interesting is that I was looking for political concepts. So I was looking for terms that can define, for example, the state, can define systems of government and rule. Mm-hmm. But whenever morae appeared in these letters, it seemed to me to appear always in relation to very intimate family dynamics. Mm. So questions like who one should marry, how one should raise one's children, how one should attend to questions of God and piety, relationships between friends, landlords and tenants. And so I find that Morahe was a manner in which the everyday life, the very personal, intimate details of everyday life were being communicated between intimates. And then I discovered that the resolution of these private questions, the battles that take place in families between fathers and sons, between husbands and wives, these really deep dilemmas that are private and that nobody actually sees on the outside, I found that they find their resolution in political spaces. So I think the challenge that we face is how do we take these concepts? And this is what I try to do in the book. Mm-hmm. But in a way, I think that I want the book to be very readable and accessible. But I think that the challenge is how do we take these rich legacies of concepts and vernacular categories, and how do we offer them to the world as approachable, usable, important, interesting paradigms of telling history, of writing theory that can actually inform how history is told and also in other parts of the world. Personhood is not a uniquely Southern African phenomena.
No.
Personhood is what makes us human. And so what I think is important is, can we access stories? Can we collect our archives? Can we work through our archives? And can we take our conversation around these concepts? And can we talk about what it means to be human? So that African history is not just about history from that part of the world, but it's really history about the globe. It's a collective human experience. Pain is a collective human experience. Yeah. It isn't particular just to people who were once colonized. And I think the concept of morahe, botu, personhood, it grapples precisely with these dilemmas of human experience, both private and public.
I agree with you that it is completely accessible because it's about people. And it's because personhood is not limited to a certain culture or a certain time in history. And I want to bring what happened then back to what's happening now. How do those moral values speak to the youth of today? And I want to focus on South Africa.
So that's a complicated question.
And we don't have much time for a long answer either.
I think what I can say is that, as the book shows, in a post-colonial context, there tends to be, and I'm not the only person, I'm not the only historian who's made this argument. Post-colonial societies tend to have huge contestations between generations. Mm-hmm. So generations tend to have very heated conversations and disagreements about what it means to be human, what it means to be a real man, what it means to be a real woman. And part of the reason for this is that in colonial societies, the resources are unevenly distributed. And most of the time, it's not possible for fathers and mothers to transfer to sons and daughters the infrastructure, the material and cultural resources that define manhood or define womanhood.
And the big political becomes the personal.
The big political becomes the personal, yes.
Yeah. Mm. So I want to end, because reading this book, I don't want to end, but reading this book, I was reminded, I could go on and on and on. I was reminded of another Sunday Times Literary Award winner, Marguerite Poland's A Sin of Omission. And this was historical fiction. And how would you feel about you or another writer picking up the story of Harriet, who was my favorite character? She was and embellishing it. And Harriet is Silas Morefa's daughter. I mean, she, as you wrote, she had worked very hard to establish herself. And she made of herself, she had to grow in the spaces men allowed. That's such a strong sentence. Do you see yourself going back to Harriet and writing about her?
I would love to go back to Harriet. I would love to have more conversations with Harriet, because on the one hand, she doesn't have as much material as her brothers, for instance. Mm. But she actually, in a very fantastic way, she really becomes the man of the story. Mm-hmm. She carries out all of the practices that are supposed to demonstrate manhood. She becomes a breadwinner. Mm. She's young. She's a leader. She's speaking to politicians. She's doing all of this. The lines between fiction and history are, I think, not as sharp as we would like to imagine. Mm. And it would be incredible to see another writer, perhaps, even if it's not me, tease out some of these strands of the story and create a fiction out of them. I mean, I would really, really enjoy that.
So would we. And I wish I could have another interview with you just to unpack more of the many concepts that you've raised, which are profound. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And I must say thank you for such an excellent, rich introduction to Morahe before our conversation began. It was an absolute pleasure and delight to listen to you talk about the book in that way. Thank you.
Thank you. And I've been speaking to Kumisho Mokgorane about her book, Morafe, Person, Family and Nation in Colonial Bechuanaland.
Thank you so much, Vanessa. Vanessa's an incredible reader. I can't even tell you how much effort she put into this. So I echo Kumisho's thanks to Vanessa for such an incredible introduction to this book and then a very in-depth interview. I wish we had more time. I feel like one needs to discuss. This is one of those meaty books that one needs to discuss for quite a bit. I highly recommend it. Morafe by Kumisho Mokgorane. Highly awarded and well worth reading and sinking your teeth into. So thank you so much for joining us on the show, Vanessa and Kumisho. And thank you, Exclusive Books, again for this segment. Really so valuable to us. I am actually going to go back and re-listen to it. And you can do that too if you want to. As I mentioned, we have our podcast. And that brings us to the end of the show. My name is Paige Nick. As I mentioned, I'm very grateful that you chose to join us. I want to wish you just a joyful, healthy, happy, and safe 2026. And I hope it's full of books. Books give me so much joy. I have gone already and set my reading target of 52 books for 2026 on Goodreads. What's your reading target? Come over to the Good Book Appreciation Society and tell us. I want to thank the whole Fine Music Radio team, all the publishers who've joined us, and you for coming and listening with us. And until next time, which is in 2 weeks' time, I want to wish you happy reading. We're playing out with Every Time We Say Goodbye by Track 5.
Every time we say goodbye, ooh.